reading is from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you. Where are you from?' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. He said to me in a deep Ukrainian accent, "This is the most dangerous part of your trip." It was about 11 o'clock at night, and we were on the way to the subway station in downtown Kiev, the capital city of Ukraine, and I was now going to have to go through that subway system to ultimately make it to the airport. "This will be the most dangerous part of your trip." It's a very fascinating subway system. It's the second deepest below ground in the world. You take an escalator down 432 feet into the depths of the earth. And down there, buried beneath the city, is this subway. And it is packed with people. Every day, 1.5 million people go through that subway system in Kiev. And my friend who was talking to me was a Ukrainian pastor who knew that system very well. And he said, "This will be the most dangerous part of your trip, your whole trip." And he knew that especially at midnight, which was about the time we would go through there, there would be plenty of thieves and people wanting to possibly do harm to me. As an American tourist, I would stand out with my luggage that I was carrying and my backpack. And he said, "They want your money and they want your passport. So you're going to have to be careful." And he and his son accompanied me, his 18-year-old son, and they flanked me the whole way through the subway system. And I felt like I was Barack Obama because they were watching and careful for me the whole way, looking around constantly, and this was serious business, you could tell, in their minds. What Jesus is really saying to his followers today in our text is, this is now the most dangerous part of your trip. The context here is when Jesus now begins to head to Jerusalem, knowing that he is going there to be sacrificed to atone for the sins of the whole world. Some theologians have called it the beginning of his death walk. And during that trip, he is now asked a question by one of his disciples. Some speculate it may have been Judas. Asked this question, "Well, how many people are going to make it to heaven?" And Jesus doesn't answer the question because to Jesus, that's a non-issue. The issue is, are you going to make it to heaven? Are you going to actually arrive at the destination? This is a dangerous portion of the trip. And he's warning here through these words that the Holy Spirit had recorded, by the way, three times in the Gospels. God is warning us who are followers of Christ, disciples of his through faith in him, to watch out and to be careful, to pay attention, because the trip from this point on to heaven is going to be difficult. And we've been blessed with some tremendous spiritual advantages, but that doesn't matter necessarily. Jesus uses the word strive. Strive to enter the narrow gate. He doesn't just say try. He doesn't say, make sure you're really working at it, but strive. It's a word that has to do with the fact that there's going to be pressure and force and forces working against your destination. Now, we might think to ourselves, I thought getting to heaven was easy. I thought the concept of grace, you couldn't get any easier. It's a present. It's a gift from God. Christ paid for our sins on the cross, made full atonement for them, has redeemed us and bought us back to God, the Bible tells us. Every sin we've ever done in the world has been forgiven by his holy and precious blood. We've heard that beautiful verse, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. So why would this be something so difficult? Why would we have to talk about getting to heaven as some type of striving? Dr. William Arndt answers that for us in his commentary on Luke. He says this, "Heaven is a gift of divine grace, but accepting the gift and clinging to it imply a constant struggle with the forces of evil inside and outside ourselves, seeking to induce us to drop the gift." And that is why so often the traveling to heaven, the path of faith in the Bible, is described with difficult terms like warfare and struggle and battle and strife, running a race that's difficult, boxing, a fight. These are the kinds of the words that the Holy Spirit uses when he describes what we're on right now as far as getting to heaven. And Jesus brings up a very sad point to his disciples when he describes those who ultimately are shut out. And notice in his words that even though they come to the door, they know where the door is. They know how to call out to Jesus. They know how to call out his name. They are aware of who he is. There's a knowledge here of Christ. At one point, they belong to him. They're obviously familiar with the ways of his kingdom. They know where the door is to go and knock. They even tell him, "We ate and drank in your presence." There's a comfort level here with Jesus. There's a comfort level here with Christianity for those who are kept out. These are important words. These were former believers, but their timing is off. Somewhere and somehow along the trip, they have lost their love of Christ. And Jesus instructs them and us by telling us, don't think you can depend on your family pedigree. Don't think you can depend on the fact that you've got clergy in your family back a few generations, and that somehow just because your name is a certain name that's always been associated with the church, that somehow makes a difference. There will be people, Jesus tells them, who are relatives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who will not sit at the feast of salvation. And others who we never would have expected will be sitting there. There are many who want to be saved and even know that salvation is to be found in Christ, and who've been blessed to have this faith in their family tree, who are going to ultimately lose that faith. Because it's very difficult to walk on the path to heaven. It's difficult to walk the path of repentance and humility and self-denial and not being attracted to the things of this world. It's like a killer Ironman marathon competition. There are reasons that people drop out from the Christian faith. The challenge for us then is making a permanent break with all the things of this world, the heavenly riches that God has given to us so freely in Christ and that are in front of us by faith are far more important and not even worth comparing to the garbage we can have in this life. But this is why the door to heaven is described to us in Scripture as narrow. You can't bring your pride through it. You have to leave how good you are at the door and realize that it's only through Christ alone that you get in. And you also can't drag through that little narrow door all the junk from this world that you think can be so important. Why did those men sit me down that night before we went to the subway to warn me? Why did that pastor sit and say to me, "This is the most dangerous part of your trip"? Because he wanted me to pay attention and he wanted me to get home safely. He cared about me. Your Lord Jesus has gone to the cross for you. He's felt your hell, and he doesn't ever want you to feel that. And he knows how wonderful heaven is, and he wants you to get home. Stick with him and listen to his words throughout your life. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer a special prayer for the family of Reverend Glenn and Maria Smith. Their infant child, Matthew, passed away last night. Matthew is also the nephew of Joel Faugstead. We pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, in your fatherly wisdom, you have taken this young child to his eternal home at such a young age. As Matthew's parents and relatives and family friends now mourn his loss, be with them in their time of grief and comfort them with the healing aid of your word, which alone can console us. Make all of us grateful for the waters of holy baptism by which you bring us into your kingdom of grace, and help all of us now to fight the good fight of faith that we may someday join all of your saints in glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.